The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 39, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on October 12, 2011, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Ataha Bhava Tava Mahima Amrita Rasa Sambudra Viprisha Sakrit Avalideya Svamasi Nishandamana Anavarata Sukena Vismarita Drishta Shrita Vishyasuka Lesha Abhasa Paramabhagavata Ekantina Bhagavati Sarvabhuta Priya Suhridi Sarva Atmani Nitaram Nirantaram Nivritta Manasa Katam Uha Va Ete Madhumatana Puna Svarata Kushala Hi Atma Priya Suhrida Sarava Tvacharana Ambuja Anusevam Vishrajanti Na Yatra Puna Ayam Sansara Paryarvata Ataha Vaha Tava Mahimamrita Rasa Samudra Viprusha Sakrid Avalideya Svamanasi Nisha Damana Navarata Sukena Vismarita Drishta Shurita Vishaya Sukha Leba Bhasa Paramabhagavata Ekantino Bhagavat Sarva Bhuta Priya Suhridi Sarvatmani Nitaram Nirantaram Nivritta Manasa Katam Uhava Ete Madhu Matana Puna Svarata Kushala Hyatma Priya Suhrida Sadavastvach Charanam Buja Sevam Vishrajandina Yatra Punarayam Sangsara Prayar Varta Ataha. Therefore, Vava. Indeed. Tava, your Mahima of glories, Amrita of the nectar, Rasa of the mellow, Samudra of the ocean, Viprisha by a drop, Sukrit only once, Avalideya tasted, Svamanasi in his mind, Nishyandamana flowing, Anivarata continuously, Sukena by the transcendental bliss, Vismarita forgotten, Drishta from material sight, Shruta and sound, Vishayasuka Of the material happiness.
Materialios laimės.
Leisha Abasa. The dim reflection of a tiny portion.
Mažo gabaliuko spindėlis.
Parama Bhagavata. Great exalted devotees.
Didus išaukštinti atsidavusi.
Ekantina. Who have faith only in the Supreme Lord and nothing else.
Kurie turi tikėjimą į aukščiausiąjį viešpatį.
Bhagavati. In the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvabhuta to all living entities. Priya, who is dearmost? Suhridi, the friend.
Draugas.
Sarva Atmani, the super soul of all.
Visų super siela.
Nitaram, completely.
Visiškai.
Nirantaram, continuously.
Be perstojo.
Nirvritta, with happiness.
Su džiaugsmu.
Manasa, those whose minds,
tie kurių protai,
kotam, how,
kaip,
uha, then, va, or,
ar,
ete, these,
šie,
marumatana, O killer of the Madhu demon.
O demono madu žudike.
Puna. Again.
Vėl.
Atmapriya Suhrida. Who have accepted you as the super soul. Dearmost lover and friend.
Tie, kurie priėmė tave kaip super sielą, mylimiausią draugą.
Sadhavam, the devotees. Tvat charana ambuja anusevam. Service to the lotus feet of your lordship. Vishrajanti can give up. No, not. Yatra, wherein? Puna, again. I am this. Samsara Pariyarvata. Repetition of birth and death within the material world. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound, free from all desires. Such devotees are the real friends of all living entities, offering their minds unto you in enjoying transcendental bliss. They are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees who never need return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? Purport. Although non-devotees, because of their meager knowledge and speculative habits, cannot understand the real nature of the Lord, A devotee who has once tasted the nectar from the Lord's lotus feet can realize what transcendental pleasure there is in the Lord's devotional service. A devotee knows that simply by rendering service to the Lord, he serves everyone. Therefore, devotees are real friends to all living entities. Only a pure devotee can preach the glories of the Lord for the benefit of all conditioned souls. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jataparakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. This is one of those really, really wonderful verses. Incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from your ocean of glories. So, would you like to have an incessant flow of bliss within your mind? Yes or no? Yes. So, here's the secret how to do it. Can you imagine having incessant flow of nectar when you wake up in the morning, there's just nectar flowing through your mind? Nectar, more nectar, constantly flowing in your mind for your whole life and for all of eternity. Just imagine how ecstatic that would be. Wow! Really something, you know. Incessant flow of nectar going on in your mind. You'd be really smiling big, you know. You'd have a really ecstatic smile, you know. Because you have all this flow of nectar constantly going on in your heart. So, how do you get it? You can get it. It's available for everybody. You can have it. So, how do you get it? It's stated right here. You just have to taste even once a drop of the nectar from the ocean of the glories of Krishna. So what's the point here? The point is, if you don't have that river of nectar constantly flowing within your mind, that means you have not yet tasted a drop of the nectar from the ocean of Krishna's glories.
Tad jeigu neturite šito nektaro pastovi tekančio jūsų širdyje, reiškia, kad dar niekart neparagavot viešpatį šlovės nektaro.
This taste is a very important principle.
Šitas skonis yra labai svarbus principas.
It is called ruchi.
Tai yra vadinama ruchi.
It is one of the steps on the pathway to perfection.
Tai yra vienas iš žingsnių einant į tobulumą.
This is described by Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami tai apibūdina.
Adaushradha tata saru sangata bhajana kriya tato narta navrittishat tato rujist tato nivritt what is it? Tato nishta rujistitaha. So it is the stage which comes after the nishta stage. We talked about nishta the other day. Once you become steady and fixed up in Krishna consciousness, which requires you cleanse all the dirt out of your heart by getting initiated. Which comes by associating devotees and having faith. In other words, you have faith, you associate with pure devotees, you get initiated, then you give up your bad habits, and then you become a solid, fixed devotee, and then ruchi, you get taste.
paskui gyti iniciaciją, tada išvalote savo širdį, tuomet jūs
so you find you finally get that taste. When you get to the rusy stage, you can actually taste, really, genuinely taste the nectar. So what does that say about those of us who haven't reached rusy yet? That means we're still licking the outside of the bottle. Ruchi means when you unscrew the lid in that honey jar and you stick your tongue down in that jar of honey. That's ruchi, you see. Right now, most of us are just licking the outside of the bottle, you see. We're not really getting the ruchi yet. But we're getting a little sample. We're getting some sample of ruchi. Krishna is encouraging us. See, we give a little sample of ruchi. Even in our gross neophyte condition, Krishna gives us a little sneak preview of what's coming ahead, you see. Sometimes in a kirtan, sometimes when we're chanting our japa, sometimes when we're honoring prasadam, sometimes when we're hearing the class, maybe we get some zap of enlightenment, some zap of transcendental bliss. It's a little sample. But when you really get to the, when you actually genuinely get that taste, the ruchi stage, you'll have nothing but flowing, nothing but nectar flowing in your mind for the rest of your life. Does it take work to get there? Yes, you have to work at it.
Taip, reikia padirbėti.
You have to chant on your beads every day, the 16 round. You have to follow the regulative principles. You have to rise early in the morning. You have to work for it. But it's worth more than anything in this world. When you can get that river of nectar flowing in your mind for all of eternity, the ruchi stage is the sweetest nectar, you can't imagine it. And what is the result that is described as we continue in the verse? Then once you get that taste of nectar, then what is the result? The so-called happiness of this material world is described as a tiny reflection of the nectar of Krishna's glories.
Taigi, taip vadinama materiali laimė, tai yra tik tai menkas atspindėlis Krišnos šlovės nektaro.
Now, this is very instructive.
Tai yra labai pamokama.
This tells us why material sense gratification appears to be pleasurable.
Tai mums pasako, kodėl materialus jūsų pasitenkinimas mums atrodo kaip teikiant.
This is a very, very profound point being made here in the Bhagavatam.
Čia yra labai, labai svarbus momentas pažymėtas Bhagavatam.
Why is sex life attractive?
Kodėl lytinis gyvenimas yra patrauklus?
Why is money attractive?
Kodėl pinigai yra patrauklus?
Why is power attractive?
Ir galia kodėl patraukli?
Why is fame attractive?
Šlovė.
Why is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending attractive to us? It's described here because these are simply a tiny reflection of the actual happiness there in the nectarian ocean of Krishna's glories. So the point is this. Why take the reflection?
Kam priimti tik tą atspindėlį?
When you get the real thing.
Kai galite gauti kažką tikrą.
See, if you had your choice between a gulab jamun,
jūs galite rinktis tarp gulab jamunio
and the reflection of a gulab jamun.
Ir gulab jamunio atspindžio.
In one hand, I'm offering you a gulab jamun.
Štai vienoje rankoje yra gulab jamunis.
On the other hand, I have a mirror, and the reflection of the Glubdžamana is in the mirror. Will you take the Glubdžamana, or will you take the reflection of the Glubdžamana? You see? Now the foolish materialist, he will take the reflection. Because it's a fancy mirror, there's some nice trim on the mirror, you see. But is there any taste in that reflection? Can you pop that Glubdžamana in your mouth and go, it really tastes great? No, you cannot do that. You can only imagine that there is taste in that Glubdžamana. You see, it is false hope. It is called hope against hope. I'm thinking, if I really work really hard, I can be successful and happy in this world. But can I ever achieve it? No, I cannot. It's impossible. You can never be happy in this material world. Even if you become Picasso, or Van Gogh, or Rembrandt, the famous artist, you see, cannot be happy. If you want to be genuinely happy, you have to just taste even one drop, genuinely taste even one drop of that nectar from the ocean of Krishna's glories. And there's more nectar in this verse. If you may ask, where is this ocean of Krishna's glories that I can get a drop? Well, you don't have to look very far. This verse is the very ocean. This sloka is that very ocean. If you will dive into this sloka and understand this one verse perfectly well, then you will have an unending flow of nectar within your mind for all of eternity. So, are we going to completely cover this verse today? Are we going to say everything that can be said about this verse today? That's not possible. We could never do that. And because this verse is an unlimited ocean of nectar. So we're just taking a few, we're trying to get just at least one drop out of that ocean. The next sentence is also very, very profound. This describes those devotees who have gotten that taste of the nectar, and they have no interest whatsoever in the false, so-called happiness of this material world. What is the wonderful quality of these devotees? They have nothing to take from us. They have no need to try to exploit us in any way. Because they're called Atmaram. They're totally self-satisfied. They don't need anything to be happy. They don't need money. They don't need disciples. They don't need anything to be happy. Because within their heart they are tasting that nectar of Krishna consciousness. And that alone completely satisfies them. So such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. Because they share that nectar. One who gives you Krishna consciousness, he is called best friend. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, I am the best friend of all living entities. So, As Prabhupada explains, the devotee is also the best friend of all living entities. Because his only business is to give Krishna. He has nothing to take from you except for your anxieties. When these devotees see that you are in anxiety, they want to rob you of that anxiety. They want to steal it away from you. These devotees are transcendental pickpockets. They want to pickpocket away all your anxieties, you see, and leave you with nothing but transcendental bliss. And then the next sentence also, it's interesting, the verse says, offering their minds unto you. Now that's a very interesting concept. We think of offering food, right? Offering service. How often do you think about, I have to offer my mind to Krishna? I mean, our minds are pretty, you know, horrible, really, if you think about it. There's all kinds of crud in there, you know. There's lust. We're lusty like anything. We're angry. We're greedy. We're insane. Actually, we're insane if you really look at it. We're illusioned. Got all this envy. We're just really envious snakes, you know. So our minds are pretty contaminated. So who would think about offering their mind to Krishna? But here it says, offering their minds unto you. So how do we engineer that? How do we accomplish that? How do you offer your mind to Krishna without being an offender? Well, just like when you're cooking and offering in the kitchen. You just got to put the right ingredients in. When it calls for salt, you put in salt. If recipe calls for sugar, you put in sugar. If you switch the salt and the sugar, your preparation will be horrible. It will be unpalatable. Just like that Brahmacharini in Los Angeles, who was making up the Charanamrita. Instead of sugar, she put salt in the Charanamrita. And who was the first person to taste the Charanamrita? Prabhupada is the first one to taste it. So we have to be expert. Since we are supposed to offer our minds to Krishna, we have to know how to make our minds suitable to offer to Krishna. So how do you make your mind suitable for offering to Krishna? Chaita darpanam arjanam bhavinam nirvagni namapanam. You have to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By this chanting process, your mind will become clean and suitable for offering to Krishna. And what is the result? That is described in the next part of the sentence, enjoying transcendental bliss. So this actually ties back in with the first part of the verse. The first part of the verse says their minds are flowing with nectar. So it's a logical thing. If your mind is flowing with nectar, you're going to be enjoying transcendental bliss. In other words, poison tastes really bad. The nectar tastes really, really good.
Bet nektaras skonis yra labai geras.
If poison, you feel really, really bad. You feel horrible.
Jeigu geria nuodus, jaučiatės prastokai.
But when you drink, when you have nectar, oh, you really enjoy them. So it's a natural thing. If you have a mind flowing with nectar, you're going to be tasting transcendental bliss. And the next part of the verse says, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. What is that goal of life? Krishna prema. So, the ruchi stage that we were talking about now, that is one of the advanced steps which leads to prema. You've had faith in the process, you associated with pure devotees, you've taken initiation, you've gotten the dirt out of your heart by following the principles and chanting. You become a fixed up devotee, now you've gotten taste.
Jūs gaunate tikėjimą, bendraus ir jis atsidavęs, tuomet įgyjate iniciaciją, tuomet odėka apsivalo savo širdį, tada gaunate skonį.
So what happens when you're getting that constant flow of nectar, relishing the sweetest bliss within your heart at every minute? What happens?
Kas nutinka, kad tas pastovus nektaras plūsta jūsų širdyje?
What will happen then?
Kas tada nutinka?
What will happen then is you become very, very attached to Krishna.
Kas nutinka, tam būti labai prisirišęs prie Krishnos.
Just like if some lover falls in love with someone, you see. And whenever they associate with that person, it's so sweet. So what happens when that person's association is sweet? You get more and more attached. You fall deeper and deeper in love, you see. So the same thing in Krishna consciousness. The more you relish the sweetness of this this drop of nectar from the ocean of Krishna's glories, you become more and more and more attached to Krishna. And when you become completely attached, that's called asakti stage. And this is the, when you reach asakti, you have hit the pinnacle of sadhana bhakti. And now you're ready to go into the raganuga stage, where you become very advanced devotee. And then you achieve bhava, or an eruption of transcendental emotion within the heart. This bhava stage is the preliminary stage of pure love of God. And when you come to prema, then you're constantly associating with Krishna at every minute in loving direct personal loving reciprocation with Krishna. Therefore, those who have come to this ruchi stage, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. Because once you get that higher taste for Krishna consciousness, material existence appears very boring and dull. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shadehina rashavarsham vishopyasha parang vishvanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So once you get that taste, you don't have to fight your material desires anymore. See, in the neophyte stage, we have to fight with our material desires, you see. The tongue says, come on, let me taste it. The genitals say, come on, let me have some sex. You see, we have to fight these material desires. But once you get to the ruchi stage, they don't appeal. These desires, they just like, yuck. They're disgusting, you see. There's no, they don't appeal to you anymore, you see. These material things don't appeal to you anymore. That's why these devotees who come to this stage of getting this taste, they're very expert in achieving the goal of life. Nothing stands in their way anymore. See, the neophyte, he's like on a road that has all kinds of potholes and bumps, and you know, and a very difficult road for a neophyte. But when you get to the ruchi stage, you're like on a super highway, you know, undivided super highway. Three lanes in each direction. Just, you can just zoom right along to prema. So now, the verse continues, O Lord, you are the soul and dear friend of such devotees. Now that is a very interesting statement. You are the soul of such devotees. Does that mean that Krishna is the Atma? No. Krishna is always Paramatma. There's a distinction between Atma and Paramatma. It doesn't mean that Krishna and I'll become, they become, they merge and become one with Krishna. It doesn't mean them. It means that Krishna is their life and soul. They have nothing to do, nothing to think about, nothing to say except to serve Krishna 24 hours a day. That's all.
Tai reiškia, kad atsidavusiems Krishna tampa vienintelis gyvenimo tikslas, jie nieko kito neturi apie ką galvoti, kam tarnauti, išskyrus Krishna.
And of course, Krishna is their dear friend, and they never need return to this material world.
Be abejo, Krishna yra jų brangus draugas, ir jiems niekada nereikia grįžti į šitą materialų pasaulį.
Who has to return to the material world?
Kas turi grįžti į materialų pasaulį?
Those who have material desires.
Jie, kurie turi materialų troškimą.
Krishna is very kind.
Krishna labai maloningas.
If you have some material desire at the time of death, he's going to let you take birth again. That is his kindness. You want, you have this material desire? Okay. Take birth again. So the key is, if you want to go back to Godhead, train yourself to have one desire and one desire only. That is to please
Krishna.
You may say, but I have this desire and that desire. How I could be happy if I only please Krishna? But it's a fact. All the desires that we have in this world, even if we achieve those desires, we will still not be satisfied. That's a fact. Even if I achieve that thing I wanted in the material world, I will still not be satisfied. Because we are not of this material world. We are eternal residents of the kingdom of God. We are not these bodies. We are not these designations. I am male. I am female. I am Lithuanian. I am American. We have nothing to do with these designations. Therefore, anything you achieve within the false realm of these designations does not satisfy the self. The self only becomes satisfied when he is reinstated in his original constitutional position. So therefore we encourage you to become purely Krishna conscious, because then you will taste that sweet river of nectar flowing within your heart at every minute. And now the final sentence of the verse, how could they give up engagement in your devotional service? They will never give it up. Because they've gotten that higher taste. And now, actually Prabhupada's purport is about the same, the verse is so long, the purport is about the same length. Prabhupada is saying the non-devotees, they cannot understand the Lord. But the devotee who's tasted the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet, he knows that there is transcendental pleasure in serving Krishna. So there's two things here about devotional service in the purport. One is, devotional service means transcendental pleasure. And the second point is, the devotee knows devotional service means serving everyone. When you feed your belly, do you feed your whole body?
Yes.
When you feed your body, you feed your whole belly. When you feed your body, you feed your whole belly. So when you serve Krishna, you serve every living entity. And then Prabhupada says, therefore the devotees are the real friends to all living entities. He's repeating what's in the verse. And then he says, only, this is a very interesting, the final sentence of the purport is a very interesting statement. He says, only a pure devotee can preach the glories of the Lord for the benefit of all conditioned souls. So that means an impure devotee cannot do them. So what is a pure devotee then? It means one who is preaching without any ulterior motive. It's not that he's presenting himself as a devotee for some material purpose, for name, fame, profit, adoration, and distinction. He simply wants to serve people and make them happy. That person is the pure devotee. And his preaching benefits all the conditioned souls throughout the entire world. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
If one man understand that material pleasure is not good for him, is don't like him, but still he has no spiritual pleasure by chanting, by reading, and so on. So what he should do?
Come to the temple. And we'll teach him how to trace the transcendental bliss. What you're describing is a Mayavadi. He denies the material pleasures. But he has no spiritual pleasure. He cannot remain in a renounced position for very long. Because we want enjoyment. So bring that person to the temple, give them prasadam, teach them how to chant, engage them in kirtan, let them taste the nectar. Who is that person? That's what I thought. So we will teach you how to taste the nectar. You have to submissively hear. Submissively hear from Guru and Vaishnavas. Because actually you have an unlimited ocean of nectar in your heart already. Simply you have to learn how to connect with them. Are you chanting rounds every day? 16? Really good. So you know why you're not tasting the nectar? Nama Parab. You're committing offenses against the name. So you have to study the 10 Nama Parabs and sincerely try to avoid them. And if you do that, you discover that ocean of nectar. And you'll be swimming in that unlimited ocean of bliss every day. And by serving the pure devotees also. Seize those devotees whose hearts are free from the tendency to criticize others. They are pure devotees. And you should serve them as much as possible. Because by serving the pure devotees, you will get that taste. Any other question?
Yes. Tiek demonai, kurie garbina pusdievius, visi laukia mirties, nes mirtis yra dievas, toks dievo pavidalas. Bet aš per paskaitą girdėjau, kad tik tais Vaišnavai laukia mirties, nes nori konkrečiau susitikti su dievu. Tada man iškilo toks klausimas, kodėl jie nori susitikti su dievu arba grįžti į dvasinį pasaulį tokiu būdu greičiau? Nes ir demonai tą pačią nori. Vaišnavai tikram gerai visur, yra ir materialiam pasaulyje gerai, ir dvasiniam pasaulyje gerai. Tai kaip čia Kaip teisingai suvokti tai, kad Vaišnavai laukia mirties? Kodėl jie laukia? Ar jie nori palikti materialų pasaulį? Taigi jie mato čia Dievą, kiekviename atome.
Klausimas yra toksai. Aš girdėjau, kad atsidavusi laukia mirties, nes tada galės keliauti dvasinį pasaulį. Ir klausimas, kodėl jas laukia? Nes juk tyras atsidavęs, jisai mato Krišną visur. Ir jam nesvarbu, ar būtų dvasinio pasaulį, ar materialiam.
Question is, I was hearing that devotees waiting for death because they want to go back to Krishna.
Waiting for death.
But why it is? Because devotees should see Krishna everywhere in spiritual world and material world.
Yes, there's no reason to wait for death. One can enter into the spiritual world right now. You see, Prabhupada says that from the very day of initiation, one attains deathlessness, immortality. So you don't have to wait for death to achieve immortality. Just get initiated and take the vows very seriously. And then you're already living in immortality from that very moment. Any other questions?
Yeah. Vaišnavizme žinojimas ir tikėjimas ir kokie jų įtaka kokie tarpusė yra
vienas
kitam
What does it mean in Vaishnavism faith and knowledge and what is different between them
Yes, what is the difference between faith and knowledge in our Vaishnava culture
Tad Vaishnava kultūroje kuom skiriasi tikėjimas ir žinojimas
This is a very good question. There are two kinds of faith. There is blind faith, and there is faith based upon knowledge. So, in the Vaishnava culture, we do not allow blind faith. Our faith must be based on knowledge.
Mūsų tikėjimas turi būti grindžiamas žinojimu.
That knowledge comes in two forms. It's called gyan and vigyan.
O žinojimas taip pat turi dvi formas, gyana ir vigyana.
Gyan means there is theoretical knowledge. We hear something is true from an authority. That's called gyana.
Gyana yra teoretinis žinojimas, kada mes išgirstame tiesą iš autoritetų.
But when we personally experience it, then it becomes a transcendental realization.
Bet kai ją asmeniškai patiriam, tai tampa transcendentinė realizacija.
So, knowledge actually increases faith.
Tad iš tiesų žinojimas, jisai gilina tikėjimą.
And knowledge, experiential knowledge, makes faith completely solid.
O tas žinojimas, kurį mes patiriame, tai tikėjimą padaro pilnai pasireiškusiu.
Knowledge is very important for increasing faith.
Žinojimas yra labai svarbus tam, kad gilinti tikėjimą.
Jnana is essential to have faith. Jnana is required.
Jnana arba žinojimas yra labai svarbus.
And when that jnana becomes experienced, vijnana, then it becomes very solid faith.
Ir kai ta jnana, ta žinios, jos yra asmeniškai, tai pavirsta į tikėjimą.
Just like I was, when I was a boy in high school,
pavyzdžiui, kai aš plaukiausi aukštoje mokykloje,
our chemistry teacher said H2O equals water.
Chemijos mokytojas sakė H2O yra vanduo.
Now I had faith in our chemistry teacher.
Ir aš turėjau tikėjimą į chemijos mokytoją.
That she must know what she's talking about because she's the teacher.
Jinai turėtų žinoti apie kalbą, nes yra mokytoja.
But when we went to the laboratory,
bet kai nuėjome į laboratoriją,
and I combined two parts hydrogen in my test tube with one part of oxygen and got water in my test tube,
ir eksperimento būdu sumaišė du kiekius deguonies su vienu kiekiu vandens.
Then my faith became even more strong.
Gavome vandenį, tuomet mano tikėjimas tapo dar tvirtesnis.
So knowledge is necessary to have proper faith.
Taigi, žinojimas yra būtinas, norint įgyti tikrą tikėjimą.
And when that knowledge is not only theoretical, but is also personally realized and experienced by the devotee, then that faith becomes unflinching faith.
Ir kai tas žinojimas yra patirimamas tiesiogiai, taip sąlygoje tvirtą, nepajudinamą tikėjimą.
And when your faith is unflinching, it is stated in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad
6:23.
Yashya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaide ketitahyarata prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed.
Visos Vedų žinios automatiškai atsiskleidžia.
So knowledge increases faith. And when faith becomes unflinching faith, then you achieve unlimited knowledge. So your question is very nice. There is a very intimate relationship between faith and knowledge. Faith leads to knowledge, and knowledge leads to faith. It's a very beautiful, harmonious relationship between knowledge and faith. Next question. Asta.
First, I want to ask if I'm not get bored by my questions.
If what?
If I'm not bored you by my questions.
Are you boring me by your questions? That's your question. Am I? Are you boring me by your questions?
This is first question.
Huh?
This is first question. First question. First question.
First
question. She has two questions.
He has two questions.
Okay, what's the other question? I'm not bored by your questions. Your questions are the most, actually, very exciting questions. They're always very exciting questions. There's never a dull moment when Asta asks questions. So what's your next question?
Norai tai pas visus mums tokie yra, turbūt, kadangi esam tikinti.
Klausimas. Mokytis labai gražiai pasakė, kad mes turim paukoti savo protą, Krišną, iš tiesų, juk mes visi to siekiam, bet nuo ko tai pradėti? Kaip tai padaryti? Nuo ko tai pradėti? Question is that you very nicely said that we should offer our mind to Krishna. But how to start to do this?
Yes. There's a very nice bhajan I recommend by Govinda Das. If you will sing this bhajan, it will help you very nicely. Bhajahure mana shrinanda nandana abhaya charana ravindade. My dear son of Nanda Maharaj. No, he said, my dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj.
Matai, va, mano brangus protė, būk geras, užsiimk tarnystę Nanda Maharadžo sūnui.
So you beg your mind, my dear mind.
Tad maldauk savo protę, brangus protė.
Please now engage yourself in devotional service.
Prašau, užsiimk atsidavimą tarnystę.
You have to invite your mind.
Jūs turit pakviesti savo protą.
It's like somebody is going to a party and they invite their friend to come to the party, you see.
Kas nors gali eiti vakarėlį ir pasikviesti savo draugą.
So, you are going to a party.
That you said that in vakarėlį.
Krishna consciousness is the ultimate party.
Nes Krishna samni yra aukščiausias vakarėlis.
And you want to invite your mind to come to the party with you. Come on, mind, let's go.
Pasikvieskite ir savo protą į šį vakarėlį.
You see? So you invite your mind to come to the party.
Tad pakvieskite savo protą į vakarėlį.
Yeah. Okay.
Bet kaip pakviesti protą į vakarėlį, tai protas nėra kita siela, nėra kita būtybė, tai yra tiesiog mūsų dalis, mūsų kūnas.
Bet juk protas yra, nėra asmo, nėra kitas asmo, jis mūsų tiesiog subtilaus kūno dalis, tai kaip mes jį galim pakviesti. Question is that our mind is not personality, it's only our subtle body part, so how we can invite him if he is not person?
The question is that, well, the mind is just is not actually a person, it's just a material element. So how you can talk to it like it's a person? It's a very interesting question. The first point is, Govinda Das, who is a pure devotee of the Lord, does it. So even though the mind is not actually a person, it's like a pseudo-person.
Nors protas nėra kaip asmuo, bet jis yra kaip toksai.
It's confirmed, it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita also, the mind by Krishna himself, the mind can be your friend or your enemy.
Šitoks kaip pseudo asmuo, taip pat Bhagavad Gita, Krishna sako, jis gali būti jūsų draugas arba priešas.
So the mind acts like a person, even though it's not really a person.
Taigi jis nors nėra tikras asmuo, bet veikia lyg būtų asmuo.
A virtual person.
Virtualus asmuo.
So if you treat it like that, you, as Krishna has advised, it's your friend or your enemy, Govinda Das, if you follow the instructions, you'll put your faith in the words of Krishna and the faith in the words of Govinda Das and treat it like a person. You will be successful in conquering it. If you doubt the example of Krishna, that it's either a friend or an enemy, and what will be your position? If you doubt this point, then you become under the control of your mind. Do you understand this point?
Yes.
You do, okay.
I understand that if we have very strong spiritual intellect, then we can control our mind. Is this true?
Yes.
Taip, jeigu turėsi stiprų dvasinį intelektą, galėsi kontroliuoti savo protą.
And that intellect comes from studying the Bhagavatam.
tas intelektas ateina iš studijavimo Bhagavata.
That's why we have the class every morning. If you will take this Bhagavad study very carefully, very seriously, then you, Krishna will empower you to conquer your mind.
Jeigu labai rimtai studijuosi Bhagavata, tai Krishna tau suteiks jėgų, kad nugalėtum protą.
Next question.
Kitas klausimas.
Narishvara.
Šventrožiuose parašyta, kad jeigu atsidavęs ragavo nektarą, bet jų nesidalina su kitais, tuomet jisai praranda tą nektarą. It is written in scriptures that devotee get nectar. But if
devotee what?
He is getting nectar.
Yes.
But if he is not sharing with this nectar, he loses this nectar.
If we don't share it, we lose it?
How it is happening?
How it happens that if we don't share it, we lose it? We are not meant to be misers.
Mes nesame skirti būti šlykštuoliais.
We are meant to share the nectar.
Mes skirti dalintis nektarą.
If you don't feel compassion for others, to see them in their suffering condition,
jeigu nejaučiat gailesčio kitom būtybėm, matydami jų kenčiančią padėtį,
Then what makes you qualified to get the mercy? If you're not kind-hearted enough to give mercy to others who are lacking Krishna consciousness, then why are you qualified to get this mercy?
It's
a fact, the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna.
Toks yra faktas, kuo daugiau duodat Krishnas, tuo daugiau gauna Krishnas.
Someone who does not want to share Krishna with others, they are called Bhajananandi.
Tie, kurie nenori dalintis su Krishna, su kitais, vadinami Bhajananandi.
There are examples of highly elevated devotees who can practice Krishna consciousness on them.
Yra pavyzdžių labai išaukštintų atsidavusių, kurie gali praktikuoti tai.
But that was what Krishna guided them to do from within.
Bet Krishna juos iš vidaus įkvėpė tai daryti.
Not that they were selfish, they were surrendered fully to Krishna, and that's what he wanted them to do. But we have our order from Lord Chaitanya. We are the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We are the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his order is Yare Deka Tarikaha Krishna Upadash Amara Agaya Guru Hoyutare Desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this country. So our time is up. And tonight we'll have a class here. That's the plan. We've got a word that would. I'm not going to count as our Lithuania tonight. Vilnius tonight. We'll be here in Kaunas tonight.
Paskaitos laikas baigėsi, bet yra gera naujiena, kad šiandien mokytis nevažiuoja į Vilnių ir vakare paskaitos.
Should we do the song class tonight?
Taip pat gali būti ir dainavimo paskaitas.
Should we?
Ar norite pažinus dainuot, ar paskaitos?
We had a little mini song class last night. And tonight we'll do... It's also Damodarashtakam, the beginning of Kartik tonight. So it'll be a very special evening tonight. It will be the candle ceremony, the offering, the Damodarashtakam prayers. Plus, instead of a lecture, we'll study a bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which we sang last night for a few minutes. It's the sweeter than the sweetest honey.
Taigi, šiuo metu paskaitos studijuosime bhajaną Bhaktivinoda Thakur saldesnį už patį medų ir bus taip pat ceremonija žvakučių aukojimo viešpačiui.
Called the Temple of the Heart. Huh? What's it? Huh? have a class on Dhamma Dharastakam tonight, and then do another night we can have that. Yeah, we'll have two song classes. Tonight will be a song class on Dhamma Dharastakam. The whole lecture will be on Dhamma Dharastakam. Another brilliant idea from Guru Mata. Very good. Okay. Okay, the questions you have to save for the next session. We're over time now. Okay, so thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hachilabai.